This is Jim Inkster coming today on Talk Louisiana. We will visit with Raymond Strother, the legendary political consultant from Louisiana. Ray Strother commenting on the abrupt firing of Rex Tillerson as Secretary of State by President Donald Trump this morning. Also, a major congressional race tonight in Pennsylvania. What will happen with Democrat Connor Lamb and Republican Rick Saccone in a close race in a district that the president carried by 20 points in 2016? Chief Healthcare Economist Mike Berto of Blue Cross Blue Shield Louisiana on what is left of the Affordable Care Act and what we can look forward to in 2018 regarding Obamacare. And Joseph Redotta on the Watergate, the building, the landmark that endures 46 years after a break-in that brought down a president. Now the news on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Sasha Kabonshaw is producing today, and in just a bit, we're going to hear from Blue Cross Blue Shield Louisiana Chief Healthcare Economist Mike Berto on what remains of the Affordable Care Act. But we begin with the legendary Hall of Fame political consultant Raymond Strother, pride of LSU, and he started his career right here in Baton Rouge and went off to Washington and became the very top consultant in the country for a while. He's now teaching at Northwestern State and getting ready for his class this morning, and he's joining us on short notice because a few minutes ago, about a few hours ago, President Trump fired the Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, the former head of ExxonMobil. Tillerson did not get fired by the president. He heard about it through another source, but Raymond Strother, Rex Tillerson gave up a lot to take this job, and less than 14 months into it, he's gone. What do you make of it?
Well, I didn't think he was the right appointment to start with. Washington's a very complicated place, and diplomacy is even more complicated. But when you call your boss a moron, I don't think your life is going to be terribly long in the office. And I think Trump has been waiting for an opportunity to get rid of him. And now he's in these top negotiations, or in these negotiations with Kim Jong-un. And Tillerson was shut out of it. The Secretary of State was not a part of it. So it was not a healthy marriage to start with. And now the campaign of chaos turned into the presidency of chaos, and it's only continuing.
Well, Rex Tillerson apparently call the president an expletive moron, never took it back. He was featured on 60 Minutes a couple of weeks ago, and when he was asked about that, he declined to take it back. It was the non-denial denial. And as we know, the president, despite the fact that he can inflict great verbiage on somebody else, he doesn't like it when it's turned in his direction, does he?
No, he has a very thin skin. And I saw that 60 Minutes episode, too, where he literally confirmed that he had called him a moron. He didn't say it in those words, but he did confirm it. So, also, he had some other troubles. When you have a son-in-law, Kushner, running around playing Secretary of State without any credentials whatsoever. Now, I can't say that he had credentials, but when you get to Kushner, he really didn't have credentials. So it was already a very sticky situation. Now, Pompeo, I understand, is going to replace him. If you look at Pompeo's resume, he is qualified to be Secretary of State, in my opinion. Now, do I agree with him politically? Of course not. But the president has the right to pick who he wants for a Secretary of State, and this man does have the credentials and the understanding of how Washington works, which is terribly lacking in the Trump administration.
877-217-5757 is your number. Mike Pompeo, former congressman, head of the CIA, a West Point grad, is slated to become the Secretary of State. And Donald Trump has dumped yet another close associate that doesn't get any closer to a president than his or her Secretary of State. And Rex Tillerson is gone. Where he goes from here, who knows, but he was largely unknown outside of the business community. But he did have dealings through the years with Vladimir Putin, and that was thought to be a plus for him when President Trump was hiring him. Yesterday, the House Intelligence Committee, which of course is led by a Republican majority, opted to close the books on the Russian collusion investigation. What did you make of that, Ray Strother?
Well, that was expected. I don't think anyone thought anything else would come of that, except what we saw. It's so partisan that they weren't being objective anyway. And the president needed that, needed to be able to say something someplace that he wasn't complicit in that, in the Russian investigation or dealings with Russia. So I think he was pushing all along for that, and it just happens to come the day before the Pennsylvania primary, that a Pennsylvania congressional primary that he finds it's going to be very important to his administration.
Before we get to the Pennsylvania primary, which could go to a Democrat, surprisingly, a listener asked about Stormy Daniels, the Baton Rouge girl, Stephanie Clifford. Is this story going to have legs?
The most astonishing thing to me in the world is the little attention that's been paid to it. I know in Baton Rouge it gets a lot of attention. But had this been Obama or George Bush, it would have been like an atomic explosion in the country with people clamoring at the gates to throw the barbarians out. But Trump seems to just slide through. He just smiles and doesn't mention it and gets away with it. So I'm wondering how this is going to turn out. Will the voters even care? Those Trump voters who really are Trump voters don't seem to care about any misadventures he has.
Well, you represented a candidate, Gary Hart, who left the presidential race in 1988. His campaign was torpedoed when it was revealed he had a relationship with a woman who was a model, a Phi Beta Kappa, Donna Rice, a woman who was very smart and beautiful and certainly somebody most men would be proud to be in the company of. But here you've got a porn star who almost certainly had a relationship with the President of the United States based on this $130,000 payment. And yet, it's another day in Trump world. We're not paying a whole lot of attention to it, as you say. Is it because there is so much else going on?
Well, maybe. But remember, too, there have been a host of women implicated. And none of them have had any effect at all on Trump or his election or his supporters. I don't remember. I can't even name the number of women now who are accusing him of affairs and relationships. And he even admitted it, on the famous bus ride. But it doesn't seem to. I just am astonished. No political consultant like me, like I was with Gary Hart when he went down because of Donna Rice, when he had to resign from the race because of Donna Rice, and Lynn Armand being Donna Rice's friend. And it was so black and white then. No, we can't have a president that behaves that way. Then shortly after that, we got Clinton, who did behave that way and got away with it. And it looks like Trump's going to follow the same playbook.
Well, tonight there is a race. Today there is a race. Tonight we'll know the outcome in Pennsylvania, a special election to fill a seat that was left vacant by a congressman embroiled in a sex scandal. And it's between the Republican Rick Saccone, 60 years old. The president gave a 75-minute address the other night near Pittsburgh on behalf of Saccone and, of course, on behalf of himself. But the opponent is a 33-year-old ex-Marine, Connor Lamb, who looks like he came out of Central Casting, and the last poll show Lamb moving in front. Would that be significant if he wins the race, Raymond Strother?
Oh, it would be very significant because of the impact he'll have on other races around the country. Right now, the president went to, although it was a bizarre speech he gave, it was something that I've never seen anybody give like that. The president put all his chips on the table trying to elect this Republican in Pennsylvania. But if he fails, there are going to be Republicans running for election hiding from Trump all over the country. If he wins, they may have Trump come in and help them. If he loses, it's going to change the complexion of the next election.
I only saw about 15 minutes of the 75 minutes the other night, but in the 15 minutes I saw, he called Maxine Waters, a congresswoman, a low IQ individual. He called Chuck Todd, the host of Meet the Press, a sleepy-eyed SOB, and he used the actual words. He said that he could beat Oprah Winfrey because he, quote, knows her weakness. And he called several times Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas. So the president, who presumably was there to campaign on behalf of Rick Saccone, he gave the audience a lot of red meat.
It was basically a comedy act. I watched the whole thing with my mouth open. I couldn't believe a president of the United States was behaving that way. But then I see this morning the Republican in that race said that his opponent, the Democrat, who is a war veteran, I can't think of which war it was, to tell you the truth, Iraqi, I guess, said he didn't love his country and didn't love God. I mean, that's how desperate he is. Imagine taking a guy like that and labeling him anti-God, anti-country. It's beyond my comprehension.
Well, we have a president who avoided military service with, quote, bone spurs, and he has impugned the patriotism of others.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But this man has no limits. And unfortunately, as again, get back to being an old political consultant, I don't understand it. I really don't. The world's moved on without me. I can see that.
Well, in Louisiana, there is not one Republican, to my knowledge, who has ever said in public life, who has said a harsh word about our president.
No, of course not, and they won't.
Ray Strother, we'll let you get class at Northwestern State University. Thanks for joining us on short notice. It's always a pleasure.
My students would rather you keep me on the line. Thank you.
Okay, take care. See you soon. And we're back with Mike Berto, Chief Healthcare Economist for Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Louisiana. Your number, 877-217-5757. Back after this 90-second pause on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana on 89.3 WRKF. 877-217-5757 is your number. Sasha Kabashaw is producing, and our guest is Mike Berto, the Chief Healthcare Economist for Blue Cross Blue Shield Louisiana. It's been a few months since we've talked to Mike, and the Affordable Care Act is still the law of the land, but President Trump says it's really dead on arrival because the mandate is going away. But as we sit here right now on 13th of March, 2018, it would seem the Affordable Care Act in many ways, Mike Berto, is still alive and well.
Oh, absolutely. One of the things I've been dealing with for the last couple months is when the ACA was passed, they put a lot of restrictions, a lot of onus on businesses to add coverage, to do a slew of new types of reporting to the IRS. And if you failed in that process, you know, there was the threat of these huge fines, and I mean huge. And starting in November, letters started to go out to businesses explaining that the IRS believed them to be in violation. I have one of a redacted one, as you can see right here. This is a real letter. When a business, now they see the letters 226J, like Juliet, at the bottom of a letter from the IRS, you quake in your boots because the fines are gigantic. This company, the one I'm holding, had about 200 employees. They forgot to check a box on a form. They had one employee get money from healthcare.gov for 3 months, and they got fined $102,000. So this is the kind of thing. They've got 30 days to appeal, and that's it if you don't get it in. So we're helping. We're working with those folks right now trying to solve that problem.
Well, when the mandate does go away, what will that do to the Affordable Care Act?
Well, the individual responsibility requirement, an original part of the ACA that was actually upheld by the Supreme Court in 2012 under Congress's taxing authority, had a fine that was set at either $695 for an individual or 2.5% of your income, whichever was largest. In the tax bill that was passed in the fall, they basically took the fine and reduced it to zero. But that doesn't take effect until January 1 of 19. So the fine is still in effect for 2017 tax returns, and it will be in effect for 2018 tax returns. So if you weren't sure if you were going to buy coverage this year, if you thought you could get away without it, you will be fined for 18. Now, starting in 19, it's a whole different ballgame. The fine goes down to zero. Still on the books, but at zero.
877-217-5757 is your number. Locally 297-5633 in Baton Rouge for Mike Berto, Chief Healthcare Economist, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Louisiana. He has a blog that we have commented on before, straighttalkla.com, and he has detailed his personal voyage on his blog. And Mike is a cancer survivor. And when he started his revelation about getting in better shape, you were right at 300 pounds. This was a few months ago. Where are you now?
Yeah, that was in August last year. I got on a scale one day, which I never did, right? Scale's your worst enemy, and you know you're on the wrong side of the numbers, you know. And I got on one day, I just bit the bullet, and the number hit 301.5, and I was sitting there going, line in the sand, we're done. This has got to stop. And so I've lost 10% of my body weight over the last couple of months. My goal during the holidays was just to hold steady. I'm at about 265 right now. I got on the scale yesterday and took a look. My blood pressure is perfectly controlled. I'm not having any problems with blood sugar, blood pressure. My cholesterol is all in the good ranges. My docs are thrilled. And that was just with a 10% body loss. My goal is to lose about another 30 or 40 pounds and get down to my college playing weight, which was about 220, 225.
All right, 877-217-5757 for Mike Berto, Chief Healthcare Economist, Blue Cross Blue Shield. David in Atlanta. Hello, David. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, gentlemen. By the way, people can apply for an exemption to paying the penalty regarding the mandate. And also, I believe President Trump issued perhaps an executive order telling the IRS not to enforce the mandate. And furthermore, I read an article where in some states, Obamacare premiums will go up as much as 90% without the mandate, because that's the primary funding, I believe, of Obamacare. And for Republicans to essentially put that type of increase on people, of which many cannot afford, and people will go without insurance, and hospital rooms will be flooded with patients without health care, that will cause health costs to go up. So the Republicans have only taken a crisis in health care and made it worse.
Your thoughts, Mike?
Okay. Well, a couple things about David's comments. Always delightful to have. He's on every team. It's like he's waiting for me every time. I love this guy. First of all, Trump's order on the individual mandate did not say they would not enforce it. There was a codicil in the law that said if you neglected to check the box on your tax form that said I had insurance or I didn't, you have to pick, yes, I had it, no, I didn't. If you didn't check the box originally, they wouldn't process your tax return at all. They would send it back. And Trump told the IRS basically, look, process the return and just assume they didn't have insurance if they don't check the box. But he never said they wouldn't enforce the mandate, and it is certainly enforced today, number one. Number two, the study that came out a couple days ago that predicted 30 to 90% increases on the individual mandate, I would take that with a grain of salt because it was produced entirely by Covered California. Covered California is the healthcare exchange in California, and it is covering millions of people out there on the West Coast. It is super dependent on federal funds to survive, and any threat to it drives them up a tree really quickly. So you're not going to see 90% rate increases in every market in America. 30% increase over 3 years is about 10% a year. That's what we had before the ACA. So that makes sense in a lot of ways.
I've heard some people locally in Louisiana comment over the last few weeks that our budget has gone up exponentially under Governor Edwards, and it has gone up some, largely because our governor, John Bel Edwards, accepted the Medicaid funding that Bobby Jindal did not. And so we have that money flowing in as a portion of the budget. And Mike Berto, where does Medicaid stand right now?
Well, the Medicaid program in Louisiana, I don't think has ever been as important as it is today. The expansion started in July of 2016. The original estimate of the need among low-income folks for health care would be that about 250,000 people would enroll, but the number today is 460,000, fully 10%.
460.
Fully 10% of the state's population is in this new expansion population.
Every man, woman, and child.
Yes, every man, woman, and child. And their Medicaid is being funded by the feds at 95%, 94% this year federal money, And
6%.
Right. And, of course, that inflates the budget dramatically when you look at the total picture. 94% of the money is federal. And the other 6% is mostly funded by a tax on hospitals and on other health care providers who agreed that the Medicaid expansion was important for the state. I think what you see is some politicians get a little scared of the expansion for a couple of reasons. First of all, when you project a program that 200,000 people are going to enroll and 460 show up, that really flashes your budget light. You're like, oh, my goodness, how much is this going to cost me in the long run?
Well, when we're talking about big numbers and Medicaid with 460,000 people covered is a big number. We're talking about a few billion dollars, aren't we?
Oh, certainly. I think closing on four.
Four, billion. And so if the state's portion of that is 6%, we're talking about $240 million.
That's right.
That's and a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
But if the feds are pumping in $3,760,000 of it, then it's hard to say no to something that 460,000 people are taking advantage of.
Right. And Louisiana does very well. When you take a look at the amount of money the state pays in federal taxes every year as individuals and the amount of federal assistance we draw back down in Louisiana, we're drawing down almost $3 for every dollar we're paying in Washington. So don't let anybody tell you, oh, our money's going to another state. It's really, you know, our money's here. We're doing very well when it comes to federal money coming into the state.
You're listening to Talk Louisiana on 89.3 WRKF. We have more time coming with Mike Berto, Chief Healthcare Economist for Blue Cross Blue Shield Louisiana. This man knows as much about the evolving nature of healthcare in our country as anybody in the country, and he is here to answer your calls, and we will go back to the phone lines once again, 297-5633 in Baton Rouge, everywhere else, 877-217-5757, and we'll return after this news break with Karen Henderson on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Talk Louisiana. Sasha Boshaw is producing, and Mike Berto, Chief Healthcare Economist for Blue Cross Blue Shield Louisiana, is in the house to answer your questions. 877-217-5757. Randall in Goodwood. Randall, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Mike Berto.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Mike. I just wanted to offer a little clarification, Mike. I know that the healthcare providers pay part of a tax that helps justify that that drawdown of federal dollars, but 5.5% of the premium is paid as a tax by the healthcare insurance companies that are involved in that program.
Yeah, I believe there are two taxes that we look at. There's a 3.5% assessment when people buy through healthcare.gov that immediately hits the insurance carriers. Also, we've been subject to something called the health insurers tax, the HIT, which is the weirdest federal tax I've ever seen.
The hit.
It's a bucket tax. In other words, the Fed specified, we want $14 billion, okay? We don't care how you get it to us. We want $14 billion, and it's going to be allocated among all the insurance companies based on their market share, but only in fully insured business. If you're self-funded, you know, if you're a self-funded company, you're not hit by the tax, which means it's focused even more on individual and small groups. And Blue Cross, just in Louisiana, the money we had to raise to pay that tax over the last few years was $60, $70, $80 million a year that went straight to D.C. to help fund it. Now, in 2017, President Obama, on his way out, waived the tax for 17. So we actually got a year to collect the money and roll it forward. So the tax's impact on rates in 18 is much lower than it has been in the past. So that was a blessing.
Thank you, Randall. 877-217-5757. There is still time to talk with Mike Berto from Blue Cross Blue Shield. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Jim. Good morning, Mike. First of all, just thank you for I really trust what you tell us about the industry, and I understand how much you care about your customers. I'm curious about there were 35,000 positions eliminated. I think over the past 8 to 9 years in our Louisiana government. What happened to those people? What was their health care? I mean, are they now have no health insurance, or who was, you know, covering their health?
All right, hold on. We'll
get back to you, Phil, but what about people who have been excised from the government in Louisiana?
Well, I don't have any specific information about the people he's talking about. We've been the senior contractor mm-hmm. with the Office of Group Benefits for the last few years. They contract with us, have access to our networks. We help them in every way we can. And I can tell you that the total number of people OGB is covering has been very consistent for the last 3 years. I get to see that number every month, and it hasn't really moved more than a couple thousand up or down since we have been administering that account. So I'm not sure he might be talking about a further point back in time.
All right. We'll get back to Phil in a moment. But there are about 4.2 million people in the state not covered by Medicaid.
That's not entirely true. That 460,000 is just the expansion population.
Okay.
So we have another 1.2 million
all right.
that are
not
in
covered
Medicaid
by the Medicaid expansion.
Exactly right. So we're in the 1.6,
so there are
1.7
about 3 million people who are not covered by either Medicaid that was already in play
yes.
or the expansion. So of that 3 million, how many are Blue Cross?
Well, the last time I checked, about 700,000 of those people had Medicare. Okay, so that was their primary coverage.
That knocks it down to 2.3 million.
Right. And if you talk about people walking around with a Blue Cross card in their pocket in the state and have a Blue Cross Louisiana card, that's about 1.1 million people.
So about half of the others
yes.
are represented by Blue Cross.
Population, right?
So Phil, what else were you going to ask?
Well, we have 4 million roughly population in the state.
About 4.7 now, actually.
4.7. Oh, good. That's growing. So it seems to me that there's so many people who are using, who need this program, of who's been now enlisted in Medicaid, that it's incumbent to probably look at a Medicare for all. I mean, everyone could be on Medicare. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Phil.
Yeah, we study the concept of Medicare for all constantly. And if we talk about straight government-issue Medicare, so you're not going to buy any private assistant part, just the part you earn during your lifetime and pay for when you retire, that coverage, if you took those benefits and you gave them to me and said, make this a Blue Cross plan, it would be illegal for me to sell it because the coverage isn't good enough. Medicare's coverage has gaps, very large mm-hmm. gaps in it, that would be illegal in a private plan. That's why so many people, when they roll into Medicare, want a supplement, some kind of wraparound to go on top of Medicare, or they want a Medicare Advantage plan that actually replaces Medicare with a private option. So the idea that you would do Medicare for all, you couldn't just take the existing Medicare plan and start offering it to everyone. That simply would leave them uncovered in too many important ways. But if you're going to go down the Medicare for All road, you would almost have to have some kind of public-private partnership before you could provide coverage that would be as comprehensive as private insurance is today.
877-217-5757. Still time to talk with Mike Berto of Blue Cross Blue Shield Louisiana. And Blue Cross is a underwriter for WRKF. Tobacco use, that's something that you're opining about in your blog. That's still a major factor in America and in Louisiana. Like a lot of bad habits, we have more of it here than other states.
You know, I struggle constantly. Our mission, Blue Cross Blue Shield's official mission, is to improve the health and life of Louisianians. Now, to do that, I sometimes look at the comparisons. Why are we always 48th or 49th in every health statistic? And the one that floats to the top constantly, we see obesity, we see diabetes, but the real outlier, honestly, is tobacco use. We use tobacco at a rate twice as high as the healthier states in the union.
Twice as high.
For example, you've heard me talk about why Louisiana isn't California in the past. Mm-hmm. California's tobacco use rate is around 11% of the population. The use rate here is 23% of the population. So one out of every four people walking around out there is using tobacco, smoking, dipping, chewing, something. And so when I started to, you know, talk to my friends about doing a serious blog post about tobacco use and how it's crippling our healthcare, what I've heard from them was, oh, Mike, tobacco's been done. it's over. Everybody knows tobacco is bad for you. So I had a suspicion that wasn't true. So I went through my office and interviewed a whole bunch of millennials, right? We have brilliant young ladies and young men working for us at Blue Cross. And I said, what does tobacco do to you? If you smoke cigarettes, what's going to happen? If you dip snuff, if you chew tobacco? And what I would get back from them was something like, oh, well, it's bad for you, and maybe you'll get cancer. And that was it. That was as far as they knew. And so when I did the research for this blog post, I found 7 very specific things that tobacco does to you, whether you dip it, smoke it, or chew it. It doesn't matter. Like, it raises your bad cholesterol. It clogs your arteries faster than they would clog normally under normal circumstances. It weakens your immune system. So even when you get a cold or the flu, it takes much longer to recover. And about 90% of the people who end up getting lung cancer smoked or used tobacco at some point in their life. It is one of the leading components in insulin resistance. We talk about our high diabetic rate in the state. We have one of the highest in the nations. The reason people are led down that road is because their body stops reacting to insulin. Tobacco use speeds that process up. It's a super highway to insulin resistance, to diabetes, and needles, lots of needles, which is no fun, right? Even smokeless tobacco, which is very popular, I know in the state, plenty of friends, cousins, friends who I play golf with, but it's actually in some ways worse than regular tobacco because it delivers way more nicotine into your body, and that makes it more addictive, and it means you want to dip more and more and more. When I look at female-specific problems for the ladies out there who still use tobacco, listen to this list of things you get to face as you get older. Women who smoke reach menopause at an earlier age, get hardened vocal cords, you know, that delightful smoker's voice, you know, that people get as they get older. It yellows your skin and your nails. You get wrinkles at an earlier age, more hot flashes, more cervical cancer, more blood clots, more trouble becoming pregnant, and more heart attacks. And I'm reading this and I'm saying, I don't think we've emphasized these things enough. I think we need to go back to the drawing board on tobacco use.
Well, why would we have a use rate of 23% and California at 11%?
You know, when I dig through that, I find 2 very serious factors that are different between here and there. One of them is cultural. We have sort of an outdoor culture that seems to mesh tobacco with our outdoor activities, like hunting, fishing, baseball, you know, things like that. The other thing is taxes. If you go into a store in San Francisco to buy a pack of cigarettes, they're about $11 a pack. And here they're about half that much. We only have about half as much tobacco tax as other states do.
It comes down to money. Everything does. That makes sense. In New York, it's almost $5 a pack in taxes.
Yeah, yeah. And they're not shy about it either. They just would rather you not smoke, or if you're going to do it somewhere else in another city or state. Get out of their system.
Greg in Prairieville, you're on the air with Mike Berto. Hi, Greg.
Thanks for taking my call, Jim. And by the way, it's Ray, not Greg. But the appreciate the comments about smoking, being an ex-smoker, by the way. But we should find some way to have the state push the information on that smoking is an addiction and it's probably the worst one that there is. I'd like to hear your speaker comment on that, by the way.
He's absolutely right. I mean, for example, do you know that the state operates the Louisiana Tobacco Quit Line? Have you ever heard of it? It's a real thing. It's at www.quitwithusla.org, and there are coaches online. You can call, you'll get a coach, and he'll walk you through learning how to break those addictions and develop better habits. If you have a Blue Cross card in your pocket, Blue Cross covers tons of smoking deterrent drugs like Chantix and things that will help you break the addiction. You already have coverage for that if you have a Blue Cross card in your pocket. But he's right. We haven't done a good job of communicating.
We'll spend a few more minutes with Mike Berto of Blue Cross Blue Shield Louisiana. Over 1 million people in Louisiana are smoking. Think about that. And we'll be back after this pause on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us. 877-217-5757. And coming in just a moment, we'll hear from Joseph Redotto with a fascinating book about Watergate, the address, perhaps the most infamous address in the United States of America. But wrapping up with Mike Berto, if you'd like to get in before the finish line, 877-217-5757. Saints quarterback Drew Brees has reportedly signed a new two-year deal to stay in New Orleans, and it's worth $50 million for the 39-year-old quarterback. Mike Berto, what about blue bikes?
Well, you know, we just talked about how tobacco use rose to the top of my hit list of things we need to fix. The other one is exercise. We tend to be a little pudgy in Louisiana, and I'm like the king of pudgy, so I get to say that. One of the things Blue Cross thought was critical, and we've received a huge amount of support from the city government in New Orleans, was creating a bike share program that was large, visible, and easy to access in New Orleans. So we created what are called blue bikes, and there are 60 different stations around the city. Each of them have 10 or 15 bikes in them, and you can rent them with a debit card, with pretty much anything, for as little as $15 a month and just ride them every day. They're very high-tech bikes. And we've put them in over the last about 3 months ago, and already the bikes are very high-tech. They track how much they're used and where people go with them and who's riding them. And I can tell you that just in 3 months, we've burned off 3 million calories from the blue bikes in New Orleans. That's the same thing as burning off 10,000 fried shrimp po' boys, okay? So 10,000 fried shrimp po' boys worth of calories were burned off in 3 months. People rode the blue bikes 76,000 miles on 34,000 trips in 3 months just in New Orleans. It's been successful beyond my wildest imagination, and we've managed to eliminate over 30 tons of carbon from the atmosphere by replacing car rides with those bike rides.
Final call for Mike Berto. Steve in Lafayette, please be brief, Steve. You're on the air with Mike.
Mike, I'd like you to discuss the topic of costs in healthcare, and what is Blue Cross and what are we, the state and others, doing to get a sense of what our costs are, how we can reduce costs.
Okay, well, two things. Number one, we're trying to get people healthier to avoid hospital stays. The most expensive thing that you can do today in healthcare is go to the hospital. Our current spending, 37 cents of every premium dollar you paid Blue Cross last year, over a third went straight to an inpatient hospital stay. So anything we can do to keep you healthier and keep you out of the hospital is big. The second thing is drug spending. 26 cents of your healthcare dollar last year got spent on a drug. And we want to make sure that you're getting the right drug for the right condition at the right time in your life, and that you're not automatically being assigned to the most expensive option. And so those are two things we're working on right this minute.
Well, thank you, Mike Berto. We'll be talking soon, I hope.
Great,
it's always
thanks.
A pleasure to get your insights. We're joined now by Joseph Redotta. He's a writer and consultant who's worked at the highest levels of politics in Washington and in California. He worked in the Reagan White House, was a top aide to California Governors Pete Wilson and Arnold Schwarzenegger. His book is The Watergate, Inside America's Most Infamous Address, and we're talking about the Watergate in Washington, D.C., which is an enduring landmark, one of the most famous and infamous buildings in the world. And Joseph Redotta, it does have quite a history, doesn't it?
Yeah, good morning, Jim. Yes, it does. It's about 50 years old. The first building opened in October of 1965, the first of what would become six buildings. And probably, if you're like me, you sort of have this image of the place frozen in time from 1972, 1974, the height of the Nixon Watergate scandal. But it turned out it had a great history, actually even before the building was built. There was a lot of conflict, a lot of drama, and it was a fun story to tell.
And some well-known people have lived there through the years.
Right. In fact, famous Louisianans, Russell and Carolyn Long, bought their apartment from a couple, John and Martha Mitchell. John Mitchell was Nixon's combative attorney general and campaign chairman, and Martha Mitchell was his outspoken wife, who became a instant celebrity. I was able actually to tour the apartment while it was being listed by the Long family.
Well, during the height of the Watergate scandal, talk about getting close to the story. The Washington Post editor Ben Bradley, he moved into the Watergate, didn't he?
Right, in the middle, I found this passing reference in his biography. He left his wife and he moved to the Watergate, and Sally Quinn, who was his girlfriend and later his wife, joined him there, and he said, I find myself in the Watergate, spang in the middle of the biggest story of the century. And I interviewed Sally. She told me about what it was like to live in the Watergate at, and he was at the time the executive editor of the Managing Post, and they would bump into Nixon aides in the elevator as the Post was hammering away at the president each morning.
And is it true that Monica Lewinsky and Bob Dole were next-door neighbors?
Well, I thought that was really pretty shocking. So Monica's mother rented an apartment on the ground floor of one of the Watergate buildings. And I interviewed Bob Dole. So Bob Dole was the next door neighbor. And so when the Clinton scandal broke, the story broke that Monica and President Clinton had an affair, broke in 1998, he had two reactions. One was, where was Gordon Liddy when I needed him? Because he had, of course, lost his election battle to Clinton 2 years before. And then second, maybe I should call my real estate agent, because if they ever move out, I might want to combine their apartment with mine.
My goodness.
And I thought that was really kind of a fun way of sort of encapsulating this building. It's filled with powerful people, but at the end of the day, they're just like you and I, how we would behave in a an apartment. You know, somebody dies upstairs, and the first thing you think of is, can I put a stairwell from my living room into theirs? So the Doles bought Monica's apartment from their landlord and combined it with their own. And for years he would give tours, and he would grandly gesture to one end of the apartment and he would say, this is Monica Land. and in fact, I dedicated one of the chapter titles. One of the chapters of the book is Monica. Is actually called Monica Land, and it's about her, about the years where she was at the Watergate, which were fascinating.
Well, and this was during the 96 campaign when Lewinsky and Clinton were involved with one another. And if the stories are accurate, when he was having these explicit conversations with her, Bob Dole was on the other side of the wall, wasn't he? His opponent.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, like they were neighbors. Yeah, and the infamous blue dress would have been stored there as well. What was interesting to me, Jim, was the Watergate is a community. It was advertised as, in its earliest days as a city within a city, in three different apartment buildings and two offices and a hotel. And the people who lived in Monica's building were very protective of her and her privacy through all the circus. One resident said it was like the Old West. They felt like they were the settlers surrounded by the Indians. And the Indians, in this case, were a horde of reporters and photographers who camped out in front of the Watergate trying to get a glimpse of Monica. But because of the way the Watergate was designed, she could actually go about much of her daily life in privacy. She could go to the store, she could go to the gym, and she could have a little bit of privacy. And when she moved out, she left every neighbor a letter thanking them and apologizing for the unwanted attention that the scandal had brought to the building.
Well, I understand Ruth Bader Ginsburg works out at the Watergate Gym, and she claims she can bench press her weight well into her 80s. Fascinating woman.
Yeah, so Ruth Bader Ginsburg moved into the Watergate with her husband, Martin Ginsburg, when she was appointed to the federal bench by, by Clinton. I didn't put it in the book, but they used to go to the Kennedy Center often for concerts, and one night they were mugged on the way home. The Ginsburgs hosted New Year's Eve at the Watergate with their friends, most importantly, the late Judge Antonin Scalia and his wife Maureen. And Scalia was a big game hunter, so he would shoot things and bring them to dinner. And Martin Ginsburg, Ruth's late husband, was a spectacularly skilled chef, and he would plan the menu around whatever Antonin Scalia had shot.
Do you like the way the building is constructed?
Well, I think it's a challenging building for some people to look at because it doesn't look like anything else in Washington. And this was actually part of the drama of the early days of the Watergate. The Watergate is designed, first thing probably we want your audience to grasp is the Watergate was designed by an Italian and built by an Italian company. So this is unlike anything in the United States intentionally. It is a Italian building designed to be a dramatic landmark. On the city side, it's a little severe and flat, and on the water side, facing the Potomac, it's very dramatic and very open.
Well, the book is The Watergate, Inside America's Most Infamous Address, from Joseph Redotta. Good book and great read. And we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place.
For a podcast of today's show, go to WRKF.org or find the Talk Louisiana podcast on the WRKF app. We welcome your feedback and topic suggestions. Email us at talk@talklouisiana.org. Talk Louisiana is a production of WRKF in Baton Rouge.